Welcome to my commentary on 2 Thessalonians. This section, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. We had just seen Paul speaking of the Antichrist, the lawless one, so we continue on that thought in verse 5. He says, "Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things?" Paul was only with these people for 3 weeks, but he filled them in completely on the things that would lead to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's now reminding them of what he had told them. Verse 6, "And now you know what is holding him back." Him meaning the Antichrist. What? We don't know if it's a he, she, or a thing here. Something is holding the Antichrist back. Paul says that it's a what. So again, verse 6, "And now you know what is holding him back, so that he," the Antichrist, "may be revealed at the proper time." God has a proper time for the Antichrist to be revealed. He's not going to be revealed 1 second earlier or 1 second later. God has a timetable of events, and things will happen exactly when he wants them to happen. Verse 7, and this one is important, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work." The secret power of lawlessness is that spirit of the Antichrist that John speaks about in 1 John. Lawlessness is already at work in the world. It's a secret power for those who don't believe. Those who understand the Bible know what the secret power of lawlessness is. But the one who now holds it, meaning the secret power of lawlessness, back, will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, here, Paul says, the one who holds lawlessness back must continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Prophetic futurists claim the one that holds back is the Holy Spirit. He's got to be taken out of the world before the Antichrist can come. Well, I have a problem with that. I've always had a problem with that because God is everywhere at all times. He cannot be removed from the world. He is everywhere at all times. So because of that fact, some prophetic futurists say, well, it's not just the Holy Spirit. It's really the Holy Spirit in the church that is removed. And the one that holds back is the church. Well, I've always had a problem with that. According to what Paul said here in the last section, we spoke about the rebellion, the falling away. It is the falling away from the Christian influence the world once had that brings about the coming of the Antichrist. Since there is no or little Christian influence, the Antichrist can emerge onto the world scene. He does so at the first of the 7-year tribulation. At the middle point of the tribulation, if you read Revelation 13, you will see that at the midway point of the tribulation, the Antichrist receives his power from the devil. Revelation 13, 1 through 4 sees the beast, which is the Antichrist, coming out of the abyss. Once he's out of the abyss, then the devil is incarnated into the Antichrist and really rules with power, authority, miraculous signs during the last half of the 7-year tribulation. Well, we have something important really to look at here in verse 7. The one that holds back, the Greek word translated as one, is a neuter noun. Neither masculine or feminine. That means You could translate this verse, that which holds lawlessness back. That which holds lawlessness back must hold lawlessness back until that which holds lawlessness back is taken out of the way. If you look at Revelation 13, that which holds lawless back, or the Antichrist back, is the abyss. The abyss is not a he, it's a it. Because here in 2 Thessalonians 7:2-7, the word one is a neuter noun. So this is what I believe, at least at the present time. I will read verse 7 this way. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the abyss, who now holds it back, will continue to do so until it, the abyss, is taken out of the way. The words hold back in Greek means fasten to. The Antichrist, in all of its power, authority, miraculous signs, is fastened to the abyss. Once Satan says the words, come out, the abyss no longer can fasten the Antichrist and all of his power in the abyss. He comes out on the scene of earth, and in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, does his major work of deception. So I believe it's not the Holy Spirit, it's not the church, it is the abyss that is holding the Antichrist back, according to verse 7. And we get that by the neuter noun. The word one is a neuter, not a masculine. It's not a he, it's an it. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed. And you see that in Revelation 13. He is revealed in power, whom the Lord Jesus Christ will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy the splendor of his coming. The point is simple. When Jesus returns, there's going to be a major battle, and it's really between Jesus and the devil. It's not really going to be a battle. Jesus is just going to speak the word. It's the breath of his mouth that destroys the devil. You see that in Revelation 19, where he is finally thrown into the lake of fire. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. The point is simple. Satan gives Antichrist the power in the middle of the tribulation, and he deceives basically the world, most of the world, maybe not all those in the world, with his miracles and signs. Those who are perishing will be deceived. Of course, there are saints alive during this time who are not perishing. They will not be deceived, although they will probably be martyred. Paul goes on to say, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. They just refuse. If you look through the book of Revelation, it's unbelievable that after judgment after judgment after judgment, people on the earth still don't repent. They just curse God. They refuse to believe the truth. Verse 11, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. You may ask this, why does God send these people who are perishing a strong delusion? Really, he's helping them be deceived. The answer is in Romans 1, where Paul says, if you continue to sin, then God will just hand you over to your sin. You reap the consequences. The sin in Romans One is homosexuality. The same thing applies to a nation. It can apply to an individual or a nation. If a nation gives itself to, let's say, homosexuality, that nation will become homosexual, as we are seeing today. Western society is becoming homosexual in nature because God has, and I believe already, handed us over to homosexuality, and we will reap the consequences. Basically, if you want to sin, God will encourage you, go ahead and sin. Near the end of the book of Revelation, he says, let them who are wicked be wicked, let them who are unrighteous be unrighteous. The point is simple. If you want to be deceived, God will help you to be deceived. So closing this section, I say this. If you have struggled with the idea that the church or the Holy Spirit is that which holds the Antichrist back, think about this a bit. Read Revelation 12, read Revelation 13, and think about it might just be the abyss that holds the Antichrist back. And one of the main reasons is the word one in the NIV in verse 7 is a neuter noun. It's not really a he, it's an it. We'll continue chapter 2 in the next section.